After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor. This is another bonus episode. We've been putting these on the podcast feed. This is Floor's Yours, typically hosted by Brian Fonseca along with Tony Schwartz. And today their special guest host is our Greg Sylvander. Make sure you check out Floor's Yours weekly on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. And now, Floor's Yours. Down to Biscayne.
Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buck said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We're here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
And we're live.
There we go. We're live. I was arguing. No, it wasn't an argument. It was a one-sided thing. Some Knicks fans were coming for my ass earlier this week because I dared to say that Julius Randle had a bad game, despite him having 41 points against the Milwaukee Bucks on 14 of 19 shooting. You know why it was a bad game? Because in the first half of that game, he got his points in rhythm, not doing the Julius Randle bullshit. And then in the third quarter, the game got away from the Knicks. Why? Because he did the Julius Randle bullshit. And you know why I was infuriated about that? Because he would dribble down the court, do these post-ups on Giannis and fade away for two while the Milwaukee's going crazy for three. Guess who had Jalen Brunson's over? And guess who didn't hit Jalen Brunson's over by 2 points? Welcome to Floor is Yours. Greg Sylvander is here filling in for Sean Rochester and Timothy Bain. Tony Schwartz is here because, well, he's part of the main cast. And I'm here. Brian Fonseca is here. I'm not having a great week, guys. We were talking about this before we started. A lot of them is fantasy football related. I have a 1% chance of making the playoffs now because all my running backs are decapitated. And this week I play you, Greg. And next week I play you, Tony. So this
you got
is
champagne just, problems, dog.
This is very difficult. I'm watching
Greg
Najee
scored
Harris.
47 points last week. What are you complaining about?
Sean Rochester, who's co-host on the show, decides to make this league four teams out of 12 make the playoffs. Guess who's in sixth place? Guess who's gonna be asked out despite them beating fourth and fifth by a lot and is not gonna make the playoffs? But we're not here to talk about fantasy football. We're here to talk about the in-season tournament. Tyrese Haliburton was great tonight. He had a million on zero turnovers and like 1,000,000% shooting. Greg, I'll toss this to you because I know he's one of your favorite non-Heat players in the league.
Yes.
And he was cooking Damian Lillard tonight, which I thought was very, very worrisome because he looked like somebody else who kind of cooks Damian Lillard to me, and that would be Steph Curry.
Is this the ascension of the next Steph Curry? That's the question I'm going to start asking with Hallie because this thing where he can rack up assists at the rate that he does and not turn the ball over, it's mind-boggling. Tonight, the Pacers as a team had a 9.5% turnover percentage. That's the 90th percentile. If they play like that with the way they score and take care of the ball at the same time, that's a really dangerous team. This in-season tournament's been really fun, largely because I feel like it's Halliburton's coming out party to a degree. I also see Woj now plugging after the game, talking about how they're going to be aggressive in building around him, and he's recruiting people to Indy, and they mentioned Siakam and OG Anunoby. And I do think that Indy's primed to make a move and put people around Tyrese Halliburton. And so if anything comes good of this tournament, it's that maybe like we'll get a meaningful transaction out of it, because they're going to feel like they have legs to stand on if they've advanced this far in this new playoff like atmosphere, because this shit's been fun for real. Like, I can't lie that it's been an interesting vibe in the arena, and I wish the Heat would have been more involved, but that's just not our pace.
Tony, I'm going to toss this two-parter to you. One, do you watch this and all of a sudden you're worried about the Indiana Pacers just from the standpoint of them actually being contenders or more competitive than you thought? And two, do you feel like, because this is what I think, I think this tournament was sort of built to introduce not just a good team, but the next superstar. And I feel like they've accomplished that with Tyrese Halliburton, whether or not they win or lose against the Lakers or Pelicans winner, which is going to start after this.
Yeah, I don't think it worries me as far as making them contenders. It worries me as far as talking about like what they can do in the East for how many years past this, because all this build is constructed around like how many guys from the same draft class, five. They're incredibly talented. One of the coolest things about that entire game was just how many guys contributed to their success. Like Tyrese, of course, now is shooting like, 42% on pull-up threes. It's ridiculous. You go to cut off his pass, he's going to blow by you. You go to play him too tight, he's going to find the assist man. You hedge him, he's going to find the corner. Like, he's going to pull up on you if you play him too loose. Tyrese is a killer. So you put that on top of the Miles Turner consistency and the other guys, Greg's right. They can consolidate and get even better. But I don't think they're contenders. The Bucks don't have that weak side guy to establish physicality. And Aaron Nesmith, who I like as an energy dude, was bodying a lot of the Milwaukee Bucks players, just playing heroic defense out there. So you give somebody with some more physicality on the weak side, a guy like Jimmy, a guy like Caleb, and I think that the 76ers have a couple of those dudes. I think that they're out in five or six, but any other team, the Pacers go toe-to-toe with them right now, and then we'll see what they do. What was the second part of that?
It doesn't matter, because we know how you feel about Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah. I mean, how could you not? He's I would say he's bringing back the point guard position, but he's also jacking up 30 footers and making them in people's faces with his ugly ass form, which is very effective because he shoots in the 40s from 3-point range when he feels like it. Do leave comments, questions, and donations if you so wish throughout the duration of the show. Look, I think Indiana is a team that's going to be dangerous. And I think the fascinating thing for me is 1 month from now, what do they look like? Like, I've always wondered, a team that that surprisingly makes a deep run in this tournament, what does it do? Does it catapult them? Does it wear them out? Does it have the opposite effect? Do we look up and Tyrese Halliburton is fourth for MVP voting late in the year? Are the Pacers going to be as good as I thought the Cavs were going to be in the regular season, which is basically a top three seed in the Eastern Conference? I don't think so, but you could talk me into the Pacers becoming a three seed and then losing to the sixth seed in the first round, because that tends to happen with these hyper offensive teams. And that's one thing I think they're going to have to try to play defense at some point.
I'll tell you this. I don't know what the in-season tournament does, but beating a team like Boston and beating a team like Milwaukee,
yeah,
when the chips are down, it matters. It matters to their confidence.
Do you worry, Greg, about a Pacers Heat playoff series?
No, not a playoff series. I think they obviously can give Miami trouble, because what they do well is what Miami is not necessarily known for, and that's scoring. But in a playoff series, I think some of that stuff changes. And also, I hate to say this repeatedly because I mentioned it about another team recently on another show, but the Pacers are going to need to have their hearts broken before they go anywhere. Like, that's just a prerequisite to doing anything in the NBA as a unit. Like, you're not going to go and have an extended run to an NBA Finals or an Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think so, until you get your heart broken. And they haven't been put in that position yet. So I would say that the Heat would probably be an Eric Spoelstra above in that series, and that would be what puts them over the top. So no, I'm not worried, but in a regular season matchup, hell yeah, because they catch you on a random Tuesday in January and drop 140. That's not Miami's recipe, that's for sure.
Tony, do you think they can, and then we'll get off Indiana and get to the rest of the tournament, but do you think they can pose a problem to either of the teams that they beat en route to getting to the finals of this tournament, particularly Milwaukee or Boston?
Oddly, the Celtics, yeah, because I think that the Celtics get in their own way too much. Now, they didn't have Porzingis out there the other night, but I think that the way that they generate points and how aggressive, like, they're weird. They don't play a lot of defense that stops people, but they're aggressive when it counts. So I think that they pose a problem to Boston just because Boston likes to play themselves off the basketball court. But Philly, if Milwaukee can figure out a way to generate some good help side pressure on the weak side of the ball when they play them, I don't know what a chunky Idris Elba was doing out there, but I would have found a way to get somebody in the dunker spot in the last 4 minutes of that game. And just
who's chunky Idris Elba?
Adrian Griffin is chunky Idris Elba. But I would have figured out a way to get one of the bigs in the dunker spot, man, because that shit was bad.
Well, allegedly,
Brooke Lopez was Defensive Player of the Year the last couple of years. Now, all of a sudden, he's not a candidate for the award because, oh, I don't know, he fucking lost Jrue Holiday. It's funny how that works. I had people telling me that Brooke Lopez should be the Defensive Player of the Year for the same reasons that, like, Rudy Gobert should have been Defensive Player of the Year. And, yeah, fuck that. Jay Smith says they're going to be an annoying out, them being the Indiana Pacers. I think that is true, but I think I could see them losing to a good team in like five games because of the defensive deficiencies. Like, I have a lot of questions because I know we're going offense, and you need offense on some level to win, but like, you have to get stops in the playoffs. We saw this even with Denver. People think of Denver as this offensive machine, and they are. The reason why they were able to make a run to a championship is because they got stops when it mattered over and over and over again against Miami, against the Lakers, against whomever they played. They continued to get stops when it mattered. That's why they traded for Aaron Gordon, who's actually really, really good defensively. Jamal Murray's better than you think defensively. Nikola Jokic, kind of better than you think defensively.
Agreed.
Indiana has Miles Turner and them boys. So, you know, Bruce Brown, we'll see. But I have questions about that. But look, they're a fun-ass team to watch. They kind of remind me of, if historically we're making a comparison, maybe the Suns when Steve Nash was there.
It's the right comp.
That is a great. My first thought was going to be that Baron Davis, Monte Ellis Warriors group, but no, you're right. But that's more of the story than the actual product on the floor. And it's Phoenix. It's those Suns teams for sure.
If you're good enough to get Steph comparisons, you're basically getting Steve Nash comparisons. Cause I think Steph is basically like Steve Nash kind of on roids, you know, and, you know, American, I guess. Mateo said Griffin going to zone was all time stupid. He also hung on to that zone for very long, which is weird. I can't shake this feeling that Milwaukee's going to be food for somebody in the playoffs, but we can get to that another time. Other observations. I mean, we don't have to go too deep on the game that's coming up 15 minutes from now, because the majority of these people that are going to consume this program are going to listen to it after. And hopefully Trey Murphy will have gotten his over by then. Pelicans, Lakers, the thing that I want to talk about as it relates to these two teams, I guess we can go to – no, let's go to the Pelicans. Fuck the Lakers. Everybody else got the Lakers covered. The Pelicans are interesting to me just because I feel like they're a team – and this may sound stupid after the game that people will have seen by now, but – they're a team that whenever they're about to put it all together, I feel like they can be dangerous against anybody in the Western Conference. And then they can never put it all together because somebody gets hurt. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram. They came into the season with Jose Alvarado down, Trey Murphy down. Herb Jones missed some games. Brandon Ingram, I already mentioned. CJ McCollum had a collapsed lung for the second time in a couple years. But to me, they could be as dangerous as anybody outside of Denver in the Western Conference, in a conference that I don't trust, really. Yeah. Tony, where are you at with the Pelicans? And do you think that they're a team, maybe unlike the Pacers, that coming away from this tournament, they could launch themselves into being legitimate contenders? And then Greg, chime in right after that.
It's so tough because the injury history with them, but they have three all-stars. So hell yeah, they should be contenders. They have length. They have shot making in the half court setting. They have some great, set structured plays that they get to a lot. CJ's a shot maker when he wants to be, and a shot chucker when he wants to be. He's got to figure that piece out. But Brandon Ingram is playing inside of a role for the first time in this unit, in this three-man unit, and really allowing Zion to get even more space on the basketball floor. And I think tonight that's what I'm watching the most. I don't know about you guys, but I just want to see how Zion attacks the size. And does he use his physicality to dominate this kind of matchup? Because if he can do that, and Brandon Ingram can still give you 24, and CJ can still hit shots, hell yeah, they're serious. But they have to stay healthy while doing all those things.
Donut Dan says, I trust them as much as I trust the Pacers. Greg, I'm not going to ask you who you trust more between the Pelicans or the Pacers.
I trust the Pelicans more.
Yeah, I would too. But moreover, do you think this team could put together a full season? I guess is what we're all waiting to find out.
I hope that they are. It's hard for me to get there because of just the track record. It has less to do with the players on the team. I really like the composition of this group. Jordan Hawkins has had moments. Dyson Daniels has had moments. Obviously, Herb Jones. Zion and Brandon Ingram are passing the ball as good as they've ever passed the ball. I think both of them, their assist percentage is in the 96th, 94th percentile. Like, that's different stuff from them. Like, I really like what they're doing. But again, have they had their heart broken enough? And I know that that's narrative driven. Some people will roll their eyes at it. Every once in a while, a team can get all the way to the finals. But so I say they'll be a tough out again, and probably could win a round in a way that Indiana probably won't be able to. But it's not necessarily a huge disparity between these two situations.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products. And that's why I use Harry's shaving products. I love the weight it handles. I love the way it looks. And I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard. So better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer. Means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/5. That's harrys.com/5. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/5 for your $3 trial set.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's get into Floor's Mine. Or Floor's Ours. Still don't know what we're calling it. Still don't have imaging. Still don't have any of those things because we're super prepared. We will get those things when that happens. This segment is basically where we go around the room and we talk about things that have stood out to us in the NBA, but we're going to generalize it a little bit more because we've had a quarter of the season that has passed us by because everybody's at around 20 games. It means, you know, we're already sort of seeing some separation between contenders and pretenders. We're seeing a closer, you know, we're getting closer to Ja Morant time in Memphis, even though they're 6-14 and appear to be out of it. Who knows? Because the records are all close. What are the things that have stood out in this first portion of the season? Let's go to, I want to go to the commenters, but we're going to start with Tony. We're going to go to Greg, and then we're going to end with myself, and then we're going to go to comments. Pardon my bell because I got food coming. Tony, you answer while I go get that.
I love this show. This is a great one. And then the other thing while Brian's gone too, just like a New Yorker to get a fresh cut and be mad about life. The East is wide open, Donut Dan. It's kind of funny. What I wanted to talk about how like teams that are good last year are still good this year, but finding different ways to do it. Like the Bucks specifically, who were like 19th in field goal percentage last year. They're sitting at second now. They have like the third best offense in the league, the third most field goals made, despite being only 20th in attempts. The Bucks somehow still managing to be one of the most dominant offenses in the league, but just doing it this year off pure efficiency, really spacing out the floor. Giannis with like 20 points per game in the paint, which is most in the league. But that made me think, who is second? If the Bucks are third, who's second? And it's Philly. And I was like, oh, okay, well, Philly makes sense. You know, they do certain things really well. And I went and checked it out. And I'm like, oh, they're 19th in total assists, 15th in field goal attempts, 18th in three-pointers. Now, if you remember last year, they were first and made 3 points. I'm like, how the hell is Philly really doing this? It's all free throws, baby.
Yeah, they're not
going to be. It's all free throws.
They're not going to be very fun to watch. They're actually more fun to watch when Tyrese Maxey's on the floor and Joel Embiid isn't.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, it's a very effective offense that they can replicate every single night because the two guys are passing to each other. Joel is 13th in assists per game. Maxey's 14th, and they're just passing it back and forth because the team's rating is low, low, low. But check this. Joel is first in made field goals at 176. SGA, who we can call a merchant, is it 130 this year? It's 46 less. The next closest to Joel is Dame at 151. That's 26 less. And then everybody else is getting to the line too on that team. So the Philadelphia 76ers don't have a lot of great offensive trackers going for them, but the one thing they do is get to the line at an incredible rate. And that Maxey Joel DHO is repeatable against anybody. So Philadelphia 76ers, a little scary. Just a quiet monster right now.
Oh, gosh.
I don't think Greg buys that. Greg, what has stood out to you the most in this first 25% of the regular season so far that we've seen?
I got a team and I got a trend that we're going to watch for. The team we're going to watch for is the mother bleeping Oklahoma City Thunder, yo. Like, I think they could be 54, 55 win team. Listen, this is only through however many games it's through. They're the only team in the West that's in the top 10 in offensive rating, defensive rating, points per 100 possessions, points allowed per 100 possessions. The only other team that's doing that in the entire league is the Boston Celtics. That matters to me. They're also not making mistakes. Fourth in turnover percentage so far. That shit matters to me as well because they're a young team. I think that they can – they're not going to be a playoff like – maybe a darling that can do a second round dance. Maybe they do a conference finals dance if everything were to break right. But again, they got to get their hearts broken. But that's the team to watch, man. Like, I think they have a really interesting mix. They shoot the hell out of the ball. So that's the team to watch. The trend to watch is this damn thing called parity in the league. And I wonder, as February approaches, does the fact that you can be in a 7 seed and only be 4 games out of the first seed, what does that do to the transaction trends? Do we end up with more transactions? Do we end up with everybody kind of paralyzed because they feel they're kind of within striking distance? That's the trend I'm watching because the parity in the league is great for a lot of things. But the thing that the league cannot let become sterilized is the transaction trend. And so I hope that the new CBA and just the fact that the teams are so close does not lock everybody up so that they're not making moves, because we love a crazy deadline. That's kind of what I'm looking at.
Donut Dan says he doesn't trust the Sun, Lakers, or Mavericks either. Wes is weird. I would agree. I trust nobody in that conference outside of Denver and Oklahoma City, to Greg's point, is actually moving up that list. Though I agree. They ought to get their hearts broken. I believe that, like, you always got to get your ass whooped before you contend. Like, it just is what it is. Except if you trade for Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, or if you get. He got their heart broken after they got LeBron James. We don't got to talk about that. One of the things that I look forward to is the trade deadline. And one of the things I look at when looking forward to it, and this is going to be my thing, is the teams, because you guys talked about good teams. I like looking at shitty teams. And I like looking at shitty teams because as you bottom out, they have pieces to get rid of and who's going to go where. Zach LaVine is hurt. I don't know if you guys know this. He is out for several weeks. It appears, who could have seen that coming? Him and, the Chicago Bulls have no direction. He has a bad, bad contract. I don't know why people want to trade for it. He has a terrible contract. I still have people I respect, people who I would consider nerds, endearingly, but nerds, straight up basketball nerds, who say Zach LaVine is better than he profiles. And I disagree, because I've seen him play 4 playoff games in his life. I know he's shooting efficient. I don't care. And I don't know if he's played a game that I've cared to watch so far. And now he's injured again, something that we're worried about with athletic guards, right?
So I agree with all that.
And then there are the contracts. So no, I would not trade for Zach LaVine. But the Chicago Bulls, I think they're a potential fire sale team. What are they going to do with Alex Caruso? Are they going to cash in on Kobe White, who's going to have some big games in Zach LaVine's absence and already has? Maybe Patrick Williams? Maybe DeMar DeRozan, who's an expiring contract? And I know people who are watching this will probably be like, hey, because, most of you guys are Heat fans. It's on 5 reasons. DeMar DeRozan? I don't know if I want that, if it makes sense with Jimmy, Bam, whatever. If the Heat wanted to complete the mid-range mafia, all I'm going to say is it probably won't cost them that much, because DeMar DeRozan's an expiring contract.
Can I just sneak in for 10 seconds and tell you that I, of all people, think that it would work better than everybody else assumes?
You know why? Because we love 90s and 2000s basketball.
This is true.
Before all this running.
We're running the triangle.
The Toronto Raptors are 9-12. We'll see, because OG Anunoby is an expiring contract. Pascal Siakam's an expiring contract. They're going to sign either of them. Who knows? And they have to turn over this team to Scottie Barnes. They kind of already have. What are they going to do? That's very interesting to me. Greg, you look like you want to jump in one more time. Go ahead and go for it. No. Okay, so moving right along. That wasn't awkward. Washington Wizards. Also, yes. This is the team for me. Because these are the three that I really wanted to get into. Because Atlanta's 9-11. I think they're trying to compete. I think they're not doing anything yet, right?
Agreed.
If they were, there are some players there that I would find very interesting. Sadiq Bey, DeAndre Hunter, not Trae Young.
DeJounte Murray.
And DeJounte Murray, of course. Washington Wizards are 3-17. So, as expected, by the way, because we all thought they were going to suck. Tyus Jones, Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is on a longer-term deal, so he's not somebody you have to move. Tyus Jones, you have to move. He's on an expiring contract. Mm-hmm. DeLon Wright's injured. People just forgot about him. Who knows? He's going to be an interesting sort of name that pops up maybe in January, February. I don't think they're going to move a Daniel Gafford.
I hope they do, though.
But I just look at some of these teams and I start thinking about, even with the Spurs, because I feel like the Spurs have a good young core with Keldon Johnson, with Devin Vassell, with Victor Wembanyama, obviously, and Jeremy Sohan. Trey Jones is being misused in his role there. Is he going to wind up somewhere? Okay. Donut Dance is Denny Advija going back to Washington. So, yeah, this is what I like looking forward to. It's just sort of looking at these teams that are bottoming out. And if you're a 2K player, you know these are the fun teams to try to rebuild.
What's the other one? What's the other one that's right there in the list that people don't think about, though?
In terms of what?
It's the Jazz, right? The Jazz are knocking around that same kind of space. They're one game in front of them.
7-14.
And Charlotte.
7-14, and the Utah Jazz have a contract question they're going to have to answer with Lauri Markkanen.
Yes, they do.
Is signed through this year and next year, but is extension eligible soon.
Can I just tell y'all that the Heat love Lauri Markkanen?
Oh, so they of course they love 7 foot white dudes that can shoot.
Need the ball. That's the most important part. Doesn't need the ball to impact the game.
I'll tell you what. I would trade for Lauri Markkanen if I were the Heat.
Tyler Hero? Would you trade Tyler Hero?
That's the problem.
No.
That's the thing.
Because that's the move right there. That's
because so we're gonna talk this out before we end the show. Duncan Robinson's contract actually lines up with Lauri Markkanen's. You would have to do Duncan Robinson and picks. I don't think they're doing that because you got to remember who's on the other side of this. That being the Utah Jazz, and that's Danny Ainge. Mm-hmm. Danny Ainge will want Tyler Hero.
You're right.
The conversations probably start there, and the salaries don't line up, so you're going to have to get a little creative. It might have to be like Hero and, you know, a piece.
Caleb
for like Lauri and Sexton. I don't know who gets what draft pick, but there's probably going to be some sort of draft conversation going back and forth. Is that something you would stomach? I don't know, Greg. I don't think I would do that.
I would do
going
it.
From Tyler to I going would do from it. Tyler, the going from Tyler to Sexton feels dirty, even for marketing. You would do it though.
I would. Oh boy. I just
Greg Sylvander saying that, not Brian Fonseca.
This is true. And that's just today. Tomorrow I could have a different answer. I'm allowed to change my mind. But that's where I'm at today. I just feel like the idea of Markkanen fits better with with Jimmy and Bam specifically. Now that Duncan's playing, if Duncan were to fall off a cliff, I would not be in this direction. But because right. Duncan is playing as well, and it doesn't appear as if that's going to change, that's where I'm starting to say, like, how can you remove him from the starting lineup? And that's where I start to think, and I start to look around the league and think about what Tyler Hero could get them. Maybe not this year either, though. You know, I hate to be a buzzsaw on this as we close, but this may be a scenario where they ride this year out, see how far they can get, and then they go elsewhere. I hate to take us back to the Heat, so I'm going to shut up now.
No, but that's fine, because I was going to ask you, is Lauri your new number one? Because obviously it was Dame before for obvious reasons.
No, not necessarily. It's just the name of the day.
Okay.
Flavor of the month kind of
thing. Tony, you would not do a Hero marketing-centered deal. I'd be hesitant. Although, yeah. I mean, I'm being hesitant on the show, though. Privately, I'd probably do it. I don't know if I said that out loud. Tony?
I mean, if it's there and it's the day before the deadline or the hour before the deadline... I don't know what I would do, but I don't like the packages, and I don't like the years and years of continuity and goodwill and secondary window that you just opened up with Jaime Jaquez, that the trio that you have with Jaime, Bam, and Tyler that can build into the future past this. And then you have to think about how many pieces you move out to add back into this soup of guys that aren't super athletic and aren't super talented, and Lauri is a guy that isn't a shot creator the same way that Tyler is, even though I like some of the things Lauri does. And it's like,
it feels too dirty, Tony.
It's not right. Yeah. It's not balanced enough.
It feels dirty. And on top of that, it's like,
and all like
Lauri also has a injury history that should be.
That's true. It's a risk.
I feel more comfortable with like Tyler not being in the deal, but honestly, I don't think that if we could squash all, that's just a thought exercise. I don't think the Heat.
Right.
I agree. Danny Ainge is going to try to stiff you, and Pat Riley is going to tell him to go F himself, and it's not going to happen.
And then we won't get Kelly Olynyk instead. That we won't
get there you go.
Yeah. You get Kelly
or Thomas Olynyk Bryant. Instead.
Yeah. Why not? That's what I would do, honestly. This is just me. Greg's thing about like the team has to suffer before they win, which I also love, by the way. I totally agree with that. I just think that this core deserves a shot to run it just as many times as they have to run it until Jimmy's legs don't work. And that's what I really, really believe. These guys have the continuity and the presence of mind to go at it.
This is the year. If they're in position to make a run and fall short, I believe that the Tyler, Jimmy, Bam thing is going to be looked at extensively over the summer, but not until then.
Yeah.
We're going to end the show because for some reason, the New England Patriots just scored 2 touchdowns against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I got to figure out what the fuck is going on. because I bet the under.
That's why you don't bet Thursday night, baby.
Take us out, please, Manny.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.